This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Noel Lim and Shazana Mokhta in the studio this morning. Right now, we're taking a look overseas for more international markets. We're speaking with Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited out of Chicago. Tim, thank you for joining us. As always, now the NASDAQ Golden Dragon China Fund fell a whopping 22% in July, but it's since stabilized. Will American investors, though, return to the Chinese stocks anytime soon, or is the regulatory risk simply just too great?
Yeah, I think the perception is too great right now. It seems as though they're going to stay away until they get a better understanding of what China's real intentions are. You know, my thoughts that most don't understand the social capitalistic methods of the China Communist Party. You know, but another factor is their VIE structure. It worries some of U.S. investors when they delist. And they would they'll reissue it most likely in Hong Kong or Shanghai. But there's a payoff in the structure of the VIEs that could risk, getting a lower, much lower value for your stock on the VIE as opposed to the relisting in Hong Kong or Shanghai. So I'd rather just own the 8 shares, to be honest. And I think it's China, basically, in my view, doesn't really care about NYSE listings, and they'd rather have them in Asia.
Mm-hmm. And looking over to the U.S. stock market, I mean, we've seen U.S. stock indices, they've hit record highs with the rotation play in full swing to cyclicals. Which sectors do you see outperforming this quarter as the momentum continues?
I like to go back to, like we had in May, when we saw the rotation back into cyclicals and value, and also think dividend growth as well. But I think it's really clear right now, given what bond yields do or 10-year note rates do, that really the high growth tech, which leads the indices, is really a duration play. So I like the commodity plays like copper and energy and preferred inflation, reflationary plays. I like to go back to where we were in May again, but I really also like dividend growth. I think that's a good inflation hedge.
Well, there are concerns that U.S. companies have hit peak margins. Do you agree with this view?
I think there's a good chance because, you know, these base effects from a year ago, you know, number one, I think, and looking, there's obviously, earnings like were blown out of the water, but that wasn't really unexpected. But I guess the case, I like to say, will this be able to continue through time? So I think there's a case to be made, and that usually it's a time when people don't want to or don't believe it yet. And I think that's where we are.
On this note, we had earnings recently, or actually overnight, from Disney and both Airbnb, right, which are basically barometers towards hospitality and travel. We saw profit finally at the Parks, Experiences and Product Division over at Disney, and Airbnb beat Wall Street expectations for revenue and bookings. That said, Tim, with the Delta variant ahead of us, is it too early, I guess, to be banking on a recovery on the travel, leisure and hospitality sector?
You know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, we talked about, earnings, peak earnings and so forth, and the base year effect. Well, you know, Disney ripped the cover off in the second quarter on a base year. However, you go back 2 years ago and they're not even barely halfway back to where they were 2 years ago in earnings. So, you know, in that sense, I think you can look at it two ways. There's a long way to go for earnings. So maybe buy Disney, sell the big cap tech. I think there's something to be said. So this is, you know, and COVID Delta is certainly something, but I think we're going to come through the other side. So yeah, I think if Disney gives them more weakness, if it's a goodbye.
But if, let's say, if someone were to go into big cap tech at this point, Tim, evaluations are also, a little high, to say the least, at this point. Do you think there's a lot more room to run there, or is it more just on a more, it's more of a protection of the capital that we have at this point?
I guess you'd say that if you want to buy the big cap tech, a big cap growth, then you might as well want to say you also want to own bonds as well. Because I think that if interest rates rise, those stocks will reprice. If interest rates stay stable and go lower, then I think, you know, the present value calculation of these expected earnings and so forth will be a boon. So it's a duration play. But no, I think it's the value right now. And I think you're entering a phase right here where, there's, I think, enough risks and enough complacency in one way of this market that I think it begs to be a little more conservative and go into some value, at least where you know you got a good edge.
And speaking of good edge, I guess, I mean, we've seen U.S. banks record solid earnings across the board in the second quarter. Where do you see growth expansion for them in the coming quarter coming from?
Well, I kind of say loan demand's just been awful. And, you know, that's been – so they've been really getting this these write-downs that they took for, you know, the credit card losses that they expected at the onset of COVID, and then they've, you know, marked those down. And also their investment banking's been just booming. And, you know, they're well-capitalized. They're increasing their dividend. The dividend growth rate, I think, is good. And they're also buying back stock. So I think those are probably ultimate value plays. But there's a limit to where they're going to go. And that loan demand – needs to come back. And, you know, we haven't really seen it. A lot of that's from Dodd-Frank. A lot of other the private credit markets, I think, have really proliferated immensely. But nevertheless, I think that the growth comes continued probably in investment banking. But I do think they're going to see some pickup in loan demand and hope their net margins expand.
While demand for electric vehicle makers like Tesla and NIO grow, shortages like chips and components continue to dog this sector. What is your outlook for EV?
Well, I tell you, the chip shortage is certainly going to hurt some people, but there's so much money and investment going into these. But I think in the EV market, what excites me a lot is copper. You know, there's like 180 pounds of copper in each EV. To me, that sounds like a good play. I think good demand. Also, the fact that the copper mines and the investment into you know, mining, for example, you know, isn't, I think, enough to for supply demand to get in balance.
Tim, thank you so much for your time. As always, that was Tim Mulholland, president at THAM Limited out of Chicago. And I don't know whether it was just me, but he sounded almost a little bit giddy with happiness at the amount of copper that there is in those kind of batteries and the EV production. But just going back to his initial point, we asked him about basically Chinese stocks, right? That's the hot topic over the last few weeks, and we've seen the ETFs and the index funds being hit quite hard. He's pointing towards, you want to take a look at the Hong Kong listings as opposed to the ADRs, right? The American Depository Receipts and all of that. That's at least where he's looking at. Also, what his kind of view on where the value in the equity markets could be at this point.
Yeah, so some really interesting points. You know, the thing is with copper, there's already so much interest there. One wonders whether the momentum of some of the stock prices can actually continue.
Keep it here to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.